Morning.
Morning.
Our text for this morning comes from the book of Matthew chapter 7, or Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. We are continuing our series that we started a couple Sundays ago, titled A Faith for All to See. And so this is part two of this series, and then Lord willing, next Sunday, we will have a third and final lesson in this series. I like that song, "O Zion, lovely Zion, I long thy gates to see." Appreciate Ken leading that for us. You know, one of the most powerful emotions that we have, of course, is this joy, this happiness that we have, and sometimes it's expressed in tears. We're so happy. Now, I know the Bible says there will be no tears in heaven. But I don't know how you're not going to be able to shed tears when you see it. I long thy gates to see, O Zion, lovely Zion. We're going to be like the Queen of Sheba. She was blown away when she saw all of Solomon's glory. She said, "Not even the half of this glory, this greatness was told to me." And she was given a lot of information about Solomon. In fact, his kingdom had become the center of the world. All nations, all kings, all people were coming there to see his glory and to hear words from his mouth. There will be no comparison to heaven. And sometimes we wrestle with thoughts like, you know, I'm going to just feel so unworthy. How many times have we had a surprise birthday party or a surprise get together? And we're so happy, but we just feel so unworthy of our friends' love and kindness. And we always say things like, y'all shouldn't have done this. And we mean that. What are you going to say to God when you see how wonderful heaven is? You can't even practice what you're going to say. The interesting thing is, now we feel unworthy, but he has made us worthy because of our fellowship with his son and the sacrifice that he made on the cross. And so pressure falls upon us, duty falls upon us to live a life where our faith can be seen. The convictions of our hearts that are founded in the text of the Bible, God's word, we want to live our faith in a way that can be seen, not so that attention can be drawn to us and that's the end of the story like we talked about a couple Sundays ago, but that so people may see God. And that people may see just how good, how loving, and how serious he is about us. In Matthew chapter 5, and beginning at verse 14, Jesus, of course, says, "You," to his disciples, "you are the light of the world." That means the world is in darkness, by the way, and we'll get to that in just a moment. "You are the light of the world. Like a city set on a hill, it cannot be hidden." Imagine a city, we talked about this, just lit up at night. It can be seen for miles, can it? "Nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all in the house." And then Jesus concludes by saying, in verse 16, "In the same way," just like how that city gives light and hope to people who are miles away, desperately looking for somewhere to shelter, to rest, just like that lamp that is lit and gives light to everybody in the house, and it's meant to be seen, in the same way, let your light shine before others. Light, again, is meant to be seen, not hidden. And if we are Jesus' disciples, then we must let our light shine before others, in verse 16, so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven. We talked about how we are to be like light, that we should be able and willing to adjust our lives in such a way that we can be like the light, that we are bright, that we are shining, that we are giving people hope. Again, not that the hope or the light emanates from ourselves, but Jesus, of course, is the source of that light. And so we want to talk more about that and how this light that is within us needs to be witnessed, needs to be practiced, it needs to be shown. And if we are going to be his disciples, it is imperative that we can let the light shine so that they too may long to see the gates of Zion one day and have that promise and have that hope. A faith for all to see. Does that define your life, your walk with the Lord? Think about that. There are some who are very personal with their lives, and of course that pours over into their spiritual lives too. It's not that they don't want people to know that they are a Christian per se, and there are some who are like that, but it's more so that people are just, they're just private, and you know, they enjoy their privacy, they don't like interruptions or distractions, or they don't like anything that changes that. They feel safe in that. They feel comfortable in that. Even to an extreme where they don't realize they're making others uncomfortable. But again, some are like that with their spiritual lives. They're not trying to be seen. They're not trying to let people know they are Christians. And so they maneuver their everyday lives in such a way that they don't draw attention. And again, not that they're trying to elevate themselves, but they don't want to have conversations. They don't want to engage, a debate or anything like that. They don't want people to know that they follow God. And then that goes a little even further to where they convince themselves that that's okay because they are focusing on their intimacy with God. Again, to the extreme where they don't worry about other people. That's wrong. And Scripture, of course, speaks out against that. But again, he says in verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others. In the same way, if you are a disciple of mine, you have to let your light shine. And of course, the light, of course, is Jesus, and of course, the gospel. In John chapter 10, verse 10, I believe we quoted this or at least mentioned this a couple Sundays ago, Jesus talks about the idea of this new life that people can have if they are in his flock or his fold as being the chief shepherd. He says in verse 10, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. Or the King James, I believe, says, and have it more abundantly. That seems a little redundant when you talk about, you know, writing, but that, again, emphasizes what Jesus is talking about. I came to give them an abundant life. That is the light that shines in us. We have it within ourselves to be able to share with others how they can have an abundant spiritual life. A lot of people sometimes are content to say, well, they already think their life is good. They're making good money. They got a great job. Things are going fine, but you know, nothing is ever guaranteed. One day you can be a millionaire, the next day you can be begging on the streets. One day you can have the greatest marriage in the world, and the next day you're, you know, getting ready to start the process of separation and ending in divorce. And I'm not trying to present the gospel as a safety net. In other words, you can live and do what you want, but you know, just in case, let's have a little insurance here. That's not how the gospel is portrayed in Scripture. But there's a contrast that needs to be made evident. that yes, you can have a great abundant physical life, and in a lot of respects, God wants you to. We see that in the book of Ecclesiastes, but what he is offering is more abundant. Physical life is just temporary. But the life that he offers is abundant. Why? Because it prepares us for this life and for the life to come. And the one that is to come, of course, is what real life is all about. This is just temporary, what we're doing. This life, for those who are football fans, this is just preseason, right? God has something more abundant for us. And we have the light within ourselves to be able to share that with others so that they too can enjoy this. But we must live out our faith to be seen. Look at the book of James chapter 2. This is exactly what James is talking about, because there were some who were among the Jews, of course, who felt that, I rely on my heritage. I'm a Jew. I descended from Abraham. And, just look at not just my culture, but just look at my history. Look at how rich my history is with God. And they always focus on that part. And they fail to realize just how much poverty they were spiritually. Especially when you look at the history of how their people interacted with God. They weren't a light to the nations. Isaiah would refer to that. You are a light to the nations. And of course, they weren't. They were to show that light, but they failed. But we must live lives that are meant to be seen. In James chapter 2, he challenges us. Look at verse 14. What good is it, my brothers, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Because by definition, faith works, doesn't it? And so he says, can that faith save him? If a brother or a sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and filled without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? Imagine if that's your attitude. Well, faith, I don't have to do anything. Faith is just, it's about how I feel and about God and just loving him. And imagine if that same attitude was, what if it was flipping? What if someone else displayed that attitude to you when you were in need? I don't need to do anything for you. It's like what you said. It's all about how you love God, right? But we know for those who love God, they must live for God. And so he goes on to say in verse 16 what good is that? Verse 17, so also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. Try telling that to a little kid on Christmas or on their birthday. I'm going to get you the greatest toy you've ever had. It can do all these things, and don't worry about the price. Spare no expense. I'm going to get you the best toy ever. The batteries are required, but don't worry about that. You don't need batteries. This is the best toy ever, and you're going to be happy with that. You try selling that to a little kid. It don't work. Doesn't matter how beautiful it is. Doesn't matter all the features that are on it. Doesn't matter if it's the most expensive toy in the store. If it doesn't work, they don't want that. If our faith doesn't work, God doesn't want that. We must live lives of faith that are meant to be seen like light. So in verse 18, but someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. That's exactly what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5:16. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good works. That the works that you do, the things that you do, the way that you conduct your life, the way that you live for others is a reflection of who and what God is all about. Live lives of faith that are meant to be seen. As we go to Matthew chapter 6, keep in mind that every day that God gives us, and this is something I think we should be thinking, we should be very mindful about, every day that we live, the world is in darkness. We all know something is up when we hear the sound of thunder rolling. And then we go to look outside, and all of a sudden the clouds are moving really fast, and there's this thick darkness. We know a storm is coming. That's how God sees the world every day. The world is constantly in darkness. And everybody is kind of just blind and just kind of moving around trying to, you know, figure out what's the best thing to do, and the best way to live their lives in this darkness. And just kind of picture that. Remember, one of the plagues in Egypt was darkness. And God said darkness that could be felt. You remember that? And most people just kind of sat in their space because they couldn't do anything. But this is the opposite. The world is in darkness. And people are just kind of feeling their way through, just kind of making the best that they can of life. And hoping that there's going to be this beautiful, bright light when they die. Leading them to eternal life. But I want you to picture that. I want you to think about that. Every day that I step outside, it's dark. And people are walking in darkness. And think about this. Either we can be a light in the midst of that darkness, or we can just go along with it. What do you think about that? If we choose to live for the Lord and live a life of faith that can be seen, then we are purposefully living our lives in such a way that we are trying to provide light in that darkness. And there are many ways to do that. But if we say, well, I'm just a private person, I really don't want to, you know, talk about the Lord. I really don't want to, you know, I'm not trying to show off, but I just don't want people to know that I'm a Christian. Then we're just kind of really just hiding in the darkness with everybody else, aren't we? It's important that we look at it that way. Jesus said he had come to be a light to the world. But in Matthew chapter 6, look at verses 22 to 24. In Matthew chapter 6, verses 22 to 24, we can either choose to be a light or we can choose to be in the darkness with others. The eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body is full of darkness. If then the light in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? And that's where it begins. It begins in the heart. It begins in the mind. And it translates to how we live our lives. And that ultimately is the reason why some are walking in darkness, even though they already have the light of Jesus within them. They have the gospel truth, but they choose to live in darkness with everybody else. They just want to hide with everybody else. Imagine if you went to a hospital because you weren't feeling too good and you couldn't find a doctor because they were all hiding. Imagine that. Don't you hate it when you go to the store and you're looking for that one particular item? Maybe it's on sale, but everybody's already taking it. I remember one time my wife, she had some kind of a coupon for some cookies or something. And, you know, she wanted me to go to Walmart and go get it. So I went and I just couldn't find them anywhere. I said, look, they're not here. So then I got my phone out. I did FaceTime. I looked. You can see what I'm looking at. They ain't on the shelf. They're gone. You know what she said? She says, look behind that box over there. I pushed the box back, and guess what? Somebody was hiding them. The last pack of cookies. And she says, yeah, sometimes some of those couponers, they do that. They hide stuff. Imagine if our whole life was like that, where everything that we needed, every person that we needed, they hid from us. Don't you hate it when you try to call or text somebody and they're looking at their phone and they, I don't want to talk to you. What if everybody did that to you? But that's similar to what we do if we have the light of Jesus within us, but that's been replaced by darkness because of our eyes or because of our hearts, and we're choosing to just kind of fade into the darkness with everybody else. We're not trying to be a light. Imagine if Jesus came to the earth and didn't say a word to anybody. Or he hid. But there are people walking in darkness. There are people who are falling off of cliff. There are people who are falling to their death spiritually. And we can be a light. Even a faint light gives off enough brightness to grab minds and hearts. In Luke chapter 6, turn with me there. Again, we can choose to be a light, or we can just kind of enable the darkness, support it, right? We can't say, well, I'm just kind of in the middle. There's no middle ground. But Luke chapter 6 and verse 39, he also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will they not both fall into a pit? That's certainly true. You know, if you were in a situation where somebody's life was in danger, and it didn't really pose much of a threat to your own life, maybe somebody was drowning or maybe somebody was in an accident, and you have the ability to help them in some kind of a way, would you just avoid that? We see that story, don't we, in the scriptures, where there's a man who's beat on the road, and the priest and the Levite both walk by. Here's a guy who's dying. They just kind of, I got more important things to do, right? There are people all around us, again, walking in darkness. And if we choose not to be a light, if we choose to be in the darkness with them, we're just kind of watching them fall into the pit, aren't we? Yes, these are serious thoughts. These are things to consider. But they also challenge us to make changes to our own lives, don't they? And that's why Jesus says, if you want to be my disciple in the same way, let your light shine before others. A disciple of Christ cannot simply be a light to himself either. Look at the book of Matthew chapter 5 verses 46 to 48. Some people say, well, Jesus said, let your light shine, but I just let my light shine to myself or just to those I'm close to. But again, that's not the way the Lord wanted our lights to shine. It's like a city on a hill, right? Look at verse 46 of Matthew chapter 5. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? And if you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even Gentiles do the same? You therefore must be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. You must have a complete and perfect love and heart of kindness and goodness for all people, just as God does, if you truly want to be his children. I can't just let my light shine to those who I know, those who I'm comfortable with, those who I know won't really disagree with me on my position about this issue in the scriptures. It has to shine to everybody. In Luke chapter 11, in verse 33, no one, after lighting a lamp, puts it in a cellar or under a basket, but on a stand, so that those who enter may see the light. Again, if my attitude is, well, I'm just going to let the light shine to myself or to those who know the Bible already. Remember, light is meant to shine in darkness, not to shine with other light, right? That's not to say that we can't have fellowship with one another spiritually, because we do, but it's not limited to that. We have to let our light shine in the darkness. But that light must first be shining within ourselves, right? Look at John chapter 11. John chapter 11, beginning at verse 9, Jesus answered and said, are there not 12 hours in a day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble. That is, if they're walking in the day in the light, they won't stumble. Why? Because they can see. Because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles because the light is not in him. The light must be shining within ourselves. In chapter 12, in verses 35 to 36, I'm just kind of speeding along here because time is getting away from us. John chapter 12, verse 35. Again, the light must be shining within ourselves. So Jesus said to them, the light is among you. For a little while longer, walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. That's one of the reasons why some are not as zealous to let the light shine, because they've been overtaken by darkness within themselves. There is no more light shining within them. The one who walks in the darkness does not know where he is going. While you have the light, believe in the light that you may become sons of light. And if we are sons and daughters of the light, then we gladly and proudly live lives of faith for all to see, to where the light can be shining within ourselves. In Ephesians chapter 5, this is the final scripture we'll look at this morning. The Apostle Paul writes here talking about the importance of making sure that we are walking as children and sons of God, that we are living our lives in such a way where our faith is on display for all to see. He says in verse 1, therefore be imitators of God as beloved children and walk in love. Again, that's part of the light, isn't it? As Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering, a sacrifice to God. But sexually immoral and all impurity or covetousness must not even be named among you as is proper among saints. Why? Because that's associated with the darkness. Verse 4, let there be no filthiness nor foolish talk or crude joking, which are out of place. But instead, let there be thanksgiving, for you may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is an idolater, has no inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience, that is, those who are in darkness. Therefore, do not become partakers with them. Why? Because we're light. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Therefore, what? Walk as children of light. For the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. How? With the light that is within us, on display for all to see. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of the things that are done in secret, but when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. For anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. But how is that going to happen if we're not living lives of faith for all to see? How is Christ going to shine on anybody if we are not letting the light of our Savior illuminate ourselves so that we can shine in the darkness too? We should follow the advice of the Apostle Paul in verse 15. Look carefully then how you walk. This morning, perhaps you have gotten off track in your walk with the Lord. We encourage you to get back on that track. Perhaps you have not been living a life of faith for all to see. That can change. The Lord is able to empower you with his word to do that. But if we can help in any way, why don't you come this morning? Give your life to the Lord while we stand and sing.